right? Because people tell me about Iowa being substandard all the time. I am from Iowa. But that is, I think it's really important. You know, because kindergarten now is, we're expecting kids to learn in kindergarten. It's not just about socialization and nap time and, you know, maybe learning a few things and coloring some dinosaur pictures. There's an academic component to kindergarten that just wasn't there, you know, two decades ago. And so we need to make sure those kids are ready for kindergarten. And I applaud all the efforts the community has made so far to get kids kindergarten ready, but we're only halfway there. So our middle school programs, same thing. We offer French and Spanish both, which a lot of middle schools aren't able to do. Again, our STEM programs, so we're working on the science, technology, engineering, and math in combining those classes so they're more interdisciplinary and things tie together better for our honor students there. We've started Junior National Honor Society. We've created a Swagger Recovery is an alternative school at Southside. And part of that ties back to the JDAI, which is the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative, if I remember. I'm getting a nod, so I must have got the acronym correct. But, you know, the key is that we can't just take our kids when they do something wrong and put them in jail. That doesn't help them learn, and that surely doesn't help us, you know, in the long run, making them into productive citizens. That alternative program has been exceptional. It's worked very well, and we're working on a couple other alternative opportunities for kids. But discipline problems at Southside Middle School are down 67% this year. So that, again, I think that's pretty impressive. We have a one-to-one program, so every kid does have their own iPad device to work with as we work on digital curriculum. The Ice Basketball League, because basketball is absolutely the sport of choice at the middle school. Ice allows you to participate based on your grade point average. And so a lot of the kids who started in the program could only play so many quarters. They worked to get their grades up so they could play for the full game. And that's been great. We're hoping to expand it from just boys to boys and girls this year and hopefully expand that beyond. And again, we have a full range of athletics and extracurricular activities. One thing, again, I would like to see that we're not there yet is I'd like to see every single student we have in grades 6 through 12 do at least one extracurricular activity. Because then they do something else. They have some more buy-in in what's going on in the school. And it's not just about the classes, because it is about trying to build, you know, well-rounded young people who can be productive members of our society. Remember what Dale said. He doesn't realize how thrilled I was to get that quote from him. Our athletics. You know, we won 254 games. We lost 184 last year. We tied three times. I think all those ties were my daughter's soccer team. But we had about 500 student-athletes last year. So almost a third of our high school students were student-athletes. Again, I'd like to see everybody. And again, that doesn't include kids in band, choir, musicals, things like that. But the goal would be to get to everybody to be involved in something. You know, that's something the military academies have always done, is that every student at all the military academies is a student athlete. Everybody's involved on some team. In the same way, I want to see all of our kids involved because it builds more ownership. So. Talking about finances and facilities, I needed to bring the cheerleaders out here because I've told you most of the positive things I'm going to say. From here, it's not always so pretty. At the most basic level, and again, I don't expect you to be able to read all these charts and graphs, and we'll make these available on our website later today. The green is the revenue, and the red is the expenses. Interestingly enough, we seem to have more of the red than the green. So, and that's interesting. In Indiana, it's actually against the, you know, it's against us, it's against the law for us to enter into contracts that create deficit spending, but we have to fix that. In our expenses, basically, almost 51% of our expenses are based on salaries, right? We're very people intense. We need teachers, we need teacher aides, we need librarians and counselors and social workers, and they all cost money. And almost another quarter of our total costs are for benefits. So, you know, we spend about 6% of our funding on supplies, and again, if we really reduce the paper that we save. We spend about $200,000 on paper a year. If we really reduced and we only spend $100,000 on paper, we still need to find $8.5 million in other ways to cut expenses. And so we do have our work cut out for us. Our cash reserves You know, they were going up for a while, and you'll see the rules changed and the law changed in 2011 with the property tax cap, things like that. Deb Williams, who's the CFO, is telling me she expects to have about $6,000 in the bank December 31st. So for an organization running on a $70 million budget, I'm not an accountant, but I do not think that is a significant cash balance. I'm not sure if any of the bankers in the room would loan me money based on a $6,000 reserve, though I may be asking several of you soon to do exactly that, because we'd like to make payroll in January. And again, last year we issued $7.7 million in tax anticipation warrants in order to pay our bills. And so we have to adjust that. And that's going to require, you know, as I've told the staff, becoming more efficient and really looking at all of our programs and making sure that, you know, every program that we have in place really has a good cost benefit to it. It's doing what's best for kids, and it's as efficient as we can be. And again, just to show that this is a little different for urban districts than some others, the circuit breakers, you know, which is also affecting municipalities, the tax cap losses in 2015, we're losing about 47% of our revenue that we would get locally. A district like Liberty Perry, Wapahani High School, they're going to lose about 35 cents out of $100. You know, we're losing $47. Out of $100. And so it isn't simply that we've been mismanaged. You know, we need to be more efficient, but at the same time, the circuit breaker implications of those laws are having a really negative impact on all urban districts. Muncie Community Schools actually has about the ninth biggest impact from the circuit breaker of school districts out of the 300 and some school districts in Indiana. So our facilities issues. You know, we've done a couple facility studies, but we really haven't acted on them. Southside Middle School, for those of you who've been there, by far the best facility we have. It's a beautiful building, and it's well done. It was well planned. It's been well maintained. Some of our elementary schools are also in pretty good shape, but the majority of our buildings really need significant overhaul, or, to be honest, need to be replaced. We have not done a lot of proactive maintenance. If you've seen lately in the paper, we had to close the swimming pool at Northside because we have about $200,000, actually $179,000 worth of repairs to potentially do with it. But before we do that, I want to make sure we have at least a couple of bids and we make sure that they all agree the scope of the problem before we put some money in and then maybe have to put more into it. Energy management actually has reduced our energy costs quite a bit, by more than $1 million over the last several years. And our technology infrastructure also is in dire need of being updated. So, and the partnerships, and I've tried to not mention any particular partners today because I don't want to miss any of you, and I really do appreciate all the work all of the partners do for us. You know, I've challenged each of our teachers this year to apply for at least one outside grant. And I've been very pleased with the response. We've got a lot done. We've had Ball State has looked at bringing some grant money to us as well from a variety of different venues. But it's going to be very important for us to move forward in partnership with everybody in the community. We have some pretty high hurdles to get over here. And again, I like Bart Simpson. Maybe I shouldn't. He reminds me of many of the kids I taught. You know, but you won't question public education system. What I'm actually asking you to do is exactly that. I want you to question. I want you to become our critical friends. And again, I just want to talk about what I think of areas of concern. Kindergarten readiness is a huge issue for us. We need to make sure that we do a better job working with the community and with young parents to make sure kids are truly ready for kindergarten. Our failure rate at the high school is higher than it needs to be. We need to work at that. We don't have 100% graduation rate. And until we're at 100%, we're not doing everything we can, because those kids who fail to graduate are going to make $400,000 less during the course of their lifetime than a student who graduates high school. So the thing about high school is really, it's a $100,000 a year job. Most of us would take a $100,000 a year job that required going to class and doing your homework, right? And I try to tell students that. When I was a principal, I also told students the first day that they were all number one in their class, and please don't screw it up. Their parents will get mad. So But we need to make sure that everybody not only graduates, but they have a clear plan for where they're going, whether it's to a four-year school, whether it's to Ivy Tech, whether it's to the military or another certification program. We want to make sure everybody has a plan for after graduation. And we want to start those plans when they're in fourth and fifth grade, not when they're juniors in high school. You know, we need to do some long-term facilities planning. We need to really have a strong digitally based curriculum that prepares kids for the world that we're going to go into. And we need to do that within our budget constraints. And so we have to live within our means. Thus, really our goal is to move towards doing a strategic plan. We really haven't, as a corporation, done any long-term proactive planning for quite some time. And so we're going to try to do this. The first thing that's going to come out in probably about October 15th, we're going to send out a community survey to ask all stakeholders in the community what they wish for the Muncie Community Schools. What do they see and what would they like to see? We're going to put five different planning task force together then. They're going to be made up. There's one board member on each of those planning teams, along with an administrator to co-chair. And I'm not very pragmatic, but interestingly enough, I have five board members and I have five planning teams. That just kind of really worked out well for me. But the goal is to get parents, staff, in the whole community involved in making sure their voice is heard in each of those areas. Going to also then put together an oversight team that'll be Andy Bowne from Ivy Tech, somebody from Ball State's president's office, from the mayor's office, from the library, our former superintendent, Dr. Abram, and a former school board member, to try to make sure that we're making sure that as we move forward, we're aligned with what Ivy Tech and Ball State and the municipality are doing so that we make sure we're moving in the right direction and that we're all working together. Then after we've put together each of those initial plans, those task force are going to have an open public focus group meeting in each area to share with the community and get their community input once again. And I have to break my prohibition about mentioning partners, because United Way, Jenny Marsh actually from United Way, volunteered to help facilitate those focus groups because they've just done a similar planning and they've done that training already to manage those. So United Way is going to help us facilitate those meetings. It'll happen probably in early winter. And then the goal is to put the final plans together after you've received all that input, present them to the board, and then hopefully when I'm here next year talking to you, if any of you come back, we'll talk about our strategic plan and what our directions are and what we need to do to move there and make sure that 100% of our kids are graduating and that all of our kids are kindergarten ready and that everybody has a plan for where they're going to go after school. Right. Hopefully that makes sense. All right. So, and again, the five different areas are facilities and finance, curriculum and instruction, which is really meant to be everything within the scope of the classroom. One piece of that is also going to be the instructional technology piece. Student services, support, and safety. The words get longer because I run out of the. What I would really like to explain that is everything that happens for children outside the classroom. So all of the support services we provide to children, alternative options for kids who aren't being successful in the regular classroom, that's the goal of that team. All of the things that go around the classroom to support children. Human resources and professional development. You know, we want to make sure we attract the best possible educators and administrators into the Muncie Community Schools so that we can provide a better product for you. And how do we continue to make sure they're up to date and developed? And then communications and parent engagement. How do we communicate what's going on? You know, as people have asked me what surprises me most around here since I've been here, the rumor mill is interesting. But, you know, we need to do a good job of communicating from, you know, the schools what's going on. It's one of the reasons why I've asked every one of our principals to set up a Twitter account and tweet at least one positive thing that's going on in their school every week. Actually, over at Westview, you know, they read the Lemonade Wars, and thanks to some help from one of the local radio stations, that got well-publicized. And, in fact, the author of the book wrote about our students from Muncie on their website. And so it was really cool, and that wouldn't have happened without social media and without us proactively communicating what was happening there. and the parent engagement. We want to make sure that parents feel welcome and engaged and feel like they can be part of their children's education, because we can't do it without them. It's absolutely not possible. So that's kind of what we're planning to do for strategic planning. Annie Picardo created a logo because, you know, that's what she does as the communications person. And here's what I really want from you, if I can ask. I want you to all be really engaged in helping us set a direction for the future for Muncie Community Schools. Right? I want you to please take the survey that we're going to send out very seriously. Please make sure that your coworkers, your friends, your families, all of them take the survey as well. Because obviously the more input we get, the better off we're going to be as far as getting good feedback. Volunteer to serve in one of the planning committees or come to one of the focus group meetings. Follow us on social media and be that constructively critical group of friends that we need. We need to make a lot of changes. We need to become more efficient. You know, the world is very different than it used to be. We've got a bit of competition and free market in public schools that didn't exist 10 years ago. And so we need to hear from you what we need to do different and more effectively to become a more effective partner for you to create a better Muncie. And so I really mean that. If you have questions for me, let me know. Email me, call me. I try to return all my phone calls and respond to all my emails. Or talk to, you know, Deb Williams if it's a finance issue. You know, Ermeline Faulkner if it's a academic issue. But we want to hear from you. We want to work with you to make the schools a better place. So here's some upcoming events. And the best part of being a superintendent is I usually get good seats at these things. But it's fun to go and watch and see the kids. And you know what? Kids really appreciate when you show up for games and when you show up for, you know, concerts. So take that opportunity because it's great stuff. You know, I love to see those opportunities, whether it's a band concert, a choir concert. We're kind of at the end of the football and soccer season here pretty soon, and then basketball will start. But take advantage of coming and, you know, take advantage of what the school has to offer. Right. And again, I would like to really say a very sincere thank you to all of the people, first who've made me feel welcome, but all of the people who've reached out to say, hey, our organization really wants to help Muncie Community Schools become better. So I really appreciate that, and I appreciate that on behalf of all the children and the families that we support. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.